Let us pray. Father God, you have been so good to us, Lord, this morning to permit us to study your word. For we know, Lord, that heavens and earth will pass away, but your word will remain. Lord, this world is coming to an end. We're reaching a time when not too many will be able to stand for the word of God, the pure word of God, the truth. Lord Jesus, thank you for permitting us, Lord, to look at your word and study your word. We appreciate your blessing. Appreciate what you have done among us. Appreciate your spirit, Lord. Lord, we commit this afternoon into your hands. Pray, Lord, so that somehow, as we approach, Lord, this next study, help us, Lord, to receive something, something that can be constructive, something that can help us, Lord, to stand in that great day before you and you to hear from you, Lord. That's well done. Lord, help us not to be only the hearers of the word, not only to have the revelation of the truth, but Lord, give us the strength, the power of the Spirit to fulfill, Father God, the content, the life of that revelation. Help us, dear Jesus. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have been studying in the previous 7 tapes the doctrine of marriage and divorce. The previous tape, number 6, we started a portion which is called unequally yoked. And we try to define perhaps what is a line, the dividing line, from what side of the fence you are, or which side of the fence you belong. And this is scriptural. We're going to see in this tape why it's scriptural. We say sometimes there's no difference. Yes, it is a difference. There's a saint or a Christian, and there's a person that's not saved or a sinner. This dividing line is, of course, I will call the dividing line, the line of the blood of Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those who have been their sins not covered but forgiven, and those who receive the Holy Spirit as a confirmation that their sacrifice has been accepted, that they are in their body, that line of separation that has been generated between them and the rest of the people should be very, very clearly defined. It's not because of a church association. Some people say, I belong to the Baptist. Others say, I belong to the Methodist. Others say, I belong to the Message. Not because of that, but because of the Word of God, the Spirit of Truth. And friends, the reason that we are in this message, the reason that we believe this message, is not to join a group. No, it's not. It's because we see that the Word of God is the same, and the difference between us and other groups is they claim the Word, but they do not practice the Word. They say they believe the Word, but sure, the life, or what reflects from them, it's not the Word. It's probably a philosophical concept of what the message is. In this dividing line that we call it salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we know that after a person goes through salvation, and we call it sometimes justification, it's a judicial act. It's an act which a person can stand without any court or legal parts against him. A man can stand before God, and there's no violation of the law of God because he has been justified. Justified is not only to be forgiven, but to come to the state where there's not even a court case against you. At that time of justification, God sent His Spirit upon the individual. I'm not talking about a visitation. I'm talking about a sealing, a definite baptism of the Holy Ghost that a person experiences. And that Spirit of Truth that will lead the person into all truth confirms the salvation. It's not because it's a believer just following. No, it's not. It's because of the life of the Word in them. Now, I would like, before we go any farther, and I think it's the proper time to do it now, to refer to a couple of quotes that Brother Branham refers to separation. And actually what it is, it's an interpretation of not to be unequally yoked together. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, starting from paragraph 35. Now, watch the line of separation in that portion of Scripture between Abraham and the rest of the world. And in volume 5, number 9, the title of the sermon is, Does God Change His Mind About His Word? When we go there, on paragraph 168, there are some things very, very, important for us to observe. And that is, you can be a separated person to God, or you can fulfill the permissive will, receive the blessings of the permissive will, and still violate the Word of God. And that's, I think, one of the finest lines that you can draw to deceive yourself and base your salvation and the fulfillment of the Word of God in your life because of members, because of popularity, and because of a program, and without realizing that you fail completely the Word of God. And this, Brother Branham discusses it and compares it, and he says, separation for God. You know, it's a hard price to pay, but that's what God demands from us. Let's listen to two quotes and then go from there.
Now, this Abraham on his road returning back, we're going to go back and read about it just a few moments, in the book of Genesis, in the 14th chapter of Genesis, I believe it is. Oh, how beautiful the story is here. Now, we all know of Abraham, how that God called him out of the land of Chaldea and the city of Ur, and told him to separate himself from his associates. God calls men and women, he calls a separation. Now that's what the trouble with the churches today. They don't want to separate themselves from the old carnal unbelievers. That's why we can't go any further. We're just getting that one carnal flow, and we say, oh, Jim's a good guy if he does drink, and I'll go into the pool room, but if I play pool, I'll go with her over to the party. They tell dirty jokes and so forth, but I don't tell any. Come out from among them. Right. Separate yourself. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, says the Lord. Be not yoked up with unbelievers, unequally yoked together. Don't you do it. Separate yourself. And God called Abraham to separate himself from all his kindred. And to walk with him.
Amen.
Well, sometimes it means leaving a church. Admit that to Paul, he had to leave his church. Admit that to men. Sometimes it means to leave home.
Amen.
Sometimes it means to leave father and mother and forsake all.
Amen.
I don't mean to say that every time, but sometimes it does. It means that you've got to take everything between you and God and walk with Him alone. Oh, that blessed, sweet communion. That fellowship that you have when you separate yourself from the things of the world and the carnal believers who's making fun of you and walk along with Christ. How many times did I thank God? He said, I'll give you fathers and mothers in this present world. I'll give you friends and associates. I'll never forleave you, neither will I forsake you. Though the whole world turns its back on you, I'll go with you to the end of the way. What a blessed privilege that man has that challenge to follow the Lord Jesus, to separate himself from all his carnal associates, to follow the Lord. And if any person sees not to behave themselves rightly and to present themselves as Christians, but love the carnal things, it's best for you to hunt another partner right away. right. If no one will walk with you, there is one who promised to walk with you. That's the blessed Lord Jesus. He will walk with you. God told Abraham to separate yourself. And just as human as Abraham was, he took his daddy along. He took his brother's son along, his nephew, all hanging on him. And God never did bless him until he did what God told him to do.
Amen.
I don't say that you're not a Christian. I don't un-Christianize anyone. But I say this, that if God told you something to do, he'll never bless you until you do it.
Amen.
I'm in the pulpit tonight with one of those things holding over me. My meetings hasn't been what they should have been for the past 2 years. It's because I failed the Lord. He told me to go to Africa and then to India. Here it is written out here in the back of this book right now. The manager called and said, let them Africans go. India's ready. The Holy Spirit met me and said, you'll go to Africa like I told you to. And every year passed, and the manager, I forgot about it. He said, we're going to India. Tickets is already here. I started off with Galatia, got to Lisbon. One night, I thought I was dying. The next morning, I started to go over to the bathroom to take a bath. Well, I was so sick, I could hardly stand up, right hanging on the bathroom. Said, I thought I told you to go to Africa first. My meetings have been slowly failing since that time. So I went to India with nearly a 500,000 staying there. But that wasn't doing what God said to do. And I feel that my meetings will never be a success until I go right straight back and make that thing right. No matter why I do it, Africa first, because you've got to do it. There is God's eternal word laying there. I knew better than that. But I've got to go back. And I feel that this coming here is the time I'll call out the shell by the help of the Lord. Yes, glory is so powerful, these things growing easy like the oak tree. But our leaf is about ready to spread forth her branches now. I believe it. This great message and great thing. I believe that the Lord has shaped the world again for the glory of God. You've got to do what God told you to do. And Abraham went right on, took his folks with him. He loved them, that's the human part. But after a while, by and by, his father died and he buried him. Then he had his nephew, and then quarrels and arguments come up. And finally, Lot took his choice and went down into Sodom. And you notice Abraham? He didn't fuss with Lot. He said, we are brethren. We must not argue. But you lift up your head and you go any way you want to go. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go north, I'll go south. That's the Christian attitude. Be willing to give the other man the best of the deal. Always. Present it to him. Let him take his choice.
What did Balaam do? After knowing the will of God, and yet he was persistent, he is going to do it anyhow. And what did it do? Notice. He never changed his mind. He knew what was in his heart. You know, Thomas, one time, he just couldn't believe it. No, he said, nah, I can't believe that. If I could take my hand, stick it in his side, put it in the nails of his hand, well, then I'll believe it then. He said, come here, Thomas. See? Put your hands in here. Now, old Thomas said, now it's my Lord and my God. He said, yes, you've seen it, now you believe it. How much greater is their reward has never seen and yet believed. People sometimes won't receive the Holy Ghost unless they speak with tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. Certainly. He's a good God. He'll give you the desire of your heart. But no matter how much you speak in tongues and deny this word, you're wrong anyhow.
Hallelujah.
See? You don't go in by speaking in tongues. You go in by keeping every word. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. When you believe the word of God. See? I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe you'd be quickened, like I said this morning, till you speak with a new tongue. I have myself, and I know it's the truth. I know it's true. But that's not the sign you're God's selected child, see? No, indeed. You said, many will come to me and say, Lord, have not prophesied? Done all these great things in your name? He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. You speak with tongues and then refuse to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Something wrong somewhere. Yes, indeed. Any of those things, any of those orders God gives, there's something wrong. You search your own conscience and see what the Bible said. Show me someplace where somebody's baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's not there. But you see, sometimes for your conscience sake, you say, God speaks to the women about how they must do, not wear shorts and things. But, you know, the pastor said, so they take the easy way. They know what God said about it here. Sure. God said so. So they want to do it anyhow, see? They try to find an excuse. Well, I think it's much better. It's not, the wind don't blow. But God said for a man to dress different from a woman. If a woman put on a garment that pertained to a man, it was abomination in his sight. So it's not right. You shouldn't do it. No. See, so therefore, it's wrong. But you see, they try to find an excuse that the Lord told me to do this. I don't say He didn't, but look at His perfect will. It's got to be His permissive will. You see what it do? It'll pollute the whole bunch. It polluted all the camp. Notice here, God never changed His mind, His word, but He is a good God, and He'll give you the desire of your heart, though it be against His will. You believe that? Look, God told Moses, you go down there, this anointed prophet. Said, go down there and speak to that rock. It's already been smitten. Moses went down there in his anger, picked up the rock and said, you rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock? And smote the rock. The water didn't come. He smote it again. Because it was against God's will. It broke every plan in the Bible. Christ had to be smitten second time. See? Christ was smitten once. It broke the whole plan. But He gave him His permissive will. Then He just said, see, we got the water for you. See, I brought it for you, a bunch of rebels. God said, come here, Moses. Come here. Come up here on top. You've been a faithful servant, like the woman with the high heels. You climbed the... Look over yonder. See the promised land? Oh, Lord, but you're not going over. You took my permissive will down here at the rock. You have glorified yourself, see, and not me. You sanctified yourself. You didn't sanctify me. You didn't keep my original word, what I told you to do. Yet the waters did come. You can lay hands on the sick and they recover. You can prophesy or speak with tongues. But the thing is, keep His original word. God don't change His mind, friend. You've got to keep His commission, His will. Oh, well, that was for the disciples. He doesn't change. If He's still got a disciple, that's the same commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's never changed. He can't change. Now, you can say, well, I tell you, it ain't for this day. Oh, you Balaamite. See? God don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just look at the Balaamites today. Oh, I know in the Bible they baptized in Jesus' name, but look, all the people, I don't care what the people's done. Amen. There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved. No remission of sin only through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What, how good you are, what you do, that don't have one thing to do with it. It's God's original word. You got to stay with that.
Hallelujah.
All right. Obedience to His word is better than sacrifice. You remember that time when Saul came back? Balaam had a gift of faith and could have used it to the perfect original word of God. Many men on the field today with gifts of healing could do the same thing. Many men out here, people speaking in tongues, people prophesying. A gift could use it for the kingdom of God. But they don't do it. They take, and God blesses them anyhow, gets a permissive will. But for popularity and pleasures, personal gain, sold their birthrights as Esau did. See? Sold out to an organization. Sold out like Balaam did. See? So many are doing today the same thing. We know that's right. They sell out their birthright. Women professing the Holy Ghost, wearing shorts. Man permitting them in the pulpit. Bob-haired women in the pulpit, paint on their face with religious gowns on. The biggest stumbling block the church has ever had. If you want to know in political powers what time it is in the kingdom age, see where the Jews are. Watch how the Jews are because they are a nation. If you don't know where the nations are standing, watch the Jews. If you want to know where the church is standing, watch the women. Watch the morals among the women because she's a representation of the church. When you see the pollution amongst the women, you find the pollution in the church. Once you become a painted-up Jezebel, just exactly what the church has become. See? Now, that's the truth, and you know that. See? If you want to know where the church is, watch the morals among your women. Because she is the church as the woman. If you want to know the national status, watch the Jew. Notice, as God said to Balaam, after he had heard the true cut decision word, don't go. Yes, then he told him, after he seen in his heart what it was to do, he'd give him his permission as well, so he said, go. And you can do the same thing. If you don't want to walk in the truth, you can go to have a great ministry. Certainly you can. But you're taking his permissive will. You're walking over his word. He'll prosper you. Certainly. Just like he did Balaam. He was a success, but he couldn't curse that people. He couldn't do it because every time he started to curse, he blessed. See, he couldn't do it. But when he come to being prosperous in his achievement, he taught those people through Balak to commit adultery. He brought in the camp of Israel and married them off. Said, well, we're all one. Why, you worship the same God. We got a prophet up here, you got a prophet down there, and we have the same sacrifice, the same Jehovah as our fathers. Now, why not you all just come and associate with us? The Bible said, don't join yourself up amongst unbelievers. Don't yoke up with them at all. If they don't believe it, stay away from them.
Amen.
Come out, be separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Touch not their unclean things. That's right. They're filth against the word and things like that. Stay away from it. Don't listen to it. And here we find out that Balaam went down there and he began to teach the people, and he had an era, and he run in the way of Balaam, how that he did, and taught Balak, and the children of Israel committed adultery, and a plague struck the nation of Israel, the people, and thousands of them died in one day. And while they were all there before the altar of God praying, here come an Israelite man with a Midianite woman, a denominational woman, and went into the tent, and the priest stunt walker and took a javelin and killed them both. And that stayed God's wrath. You know that's the scripture, is that right? See, well, what happened? Balaam. He succeeded in weakening Israel. What did he do? He weakened their camp. God let him go and weakened their camp, and it polluted the whole camp. And when some doctrine starts, it's not the Bible truth, it pollutes the whole camp. Somebody raised up with a different idea like Core and say, well, this, that, and the other, I got a different idea, it pollutes the whole camp. That's what done the whole church camp today. That's right. Teaching, as he did, weakening the whole camp for Kadesh Barnea, the word showdown. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, then the weakening of the camp, they come back and what? Right? As you remember, they'd eat angels' food. They had the word of God every night, made manifest, and they eat the food. They drink from the rock. They did all, seen the miracles. They watched Moses and seen his words, seen his promises, everything. And then finally, when they listened to this false teacher coming among them and teach wrong, he weakened the camp and prospered by. He might have built million-dollar buildings. He might have had great denominations. He might have added thousands times thousands and done great works and mighty works and was a prophet. That's all right, but as long as it's not with the Word of God, you better stay away from it.
Amen.
God don't change His mind. Stay right with His Word, because that's what's going to come out in the end. The
Amen.
Word, word by word. Whosoever shall take one word away from it or add one word to it. Got to say that word. Now listen, close now. When the word test came, when they went over and seen the opposition so great, the greatest opposition they ever seen, the Amalekites were 10 times their size. They said, we look like grasshoppers. Their fences are, their cities are so walled that they run a chariot race around it, 2 chariots, as far as they can go, around the walls. See? Other cities. While their spears are way out there long and they're giants, while we look like grasshoppers, we can't do it. And 2 men stood on that word. Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute.
Amen.
You 2 million people, shut up just a minute.
Hallelujah.
We are more than able to do it.
Hallelujah.
We are more than a match for them.
Yes.
What was they based on? God said, I've given you the land. It's yours. There they stood. But the people had gotten married off amongst other things and all kinds of creeds and rituals among them, and they just winky, wishy-washy, didn't know which way to turn and what to do. That's right. There come the word test. Yet, He grants you permission, permits your will, knowing that what's in your heart, He knows it. You say, oh, Brother Branham, I do so and so, it don't bother me. God blesses me every day. I sing in the Spirit, I dance in the Spirit. He'll permit it. Go ahead. That's right. But what are you going to do? I wear shorts, I do this, it don't bother me. I know my faith is in Christ, not in what I wear, but the Bible said there is something to it. See? What you do, you'll make a stumbling block like Balaam did before every one of the other women. What you do to your young girls, you'll have a bunch of Rickettas. That's exactly right. A bunch of little painted-up Jezebels. See? But God will prosper me. Well, he blesses me. I don't doubt that. He blessed Balaam, too. See? Certainly he will. You're walking in his permissive will, not his perfect will. God doesn't change his mind because he blesses you. He blessed Israel right out there for 40 years. What did they do? Married wives, raised families, kissed the children, paid their tithes, lived right out there, and God blessed them in the wilderness. Fed them with the manna on and on. And every one of them perished. Because they never kept his original permissive, his original will, his word. They took his permissive way. Go ahead. But you remember when they left Kadesh, they never journeyed any farther. They just went around and around the wilderness. Where they could have been out in 2 days, if that they'd been in the promised land, they journeyed 40 years and every one of them died. But Joshua and Caleb, the ones that stayed on the original word. Oh, God, help us. God don't change his will. He don't change his mind. But he'll bless you. Sure, he blessed Balaam. And what did he do down there? He polluted the whole camp. See, you have to stay on what he said. He never changed his original plan. Now, look at the Balaams today in the field, would you? Just look around. Prospering, speaking in tongues, sure. Using God's gift to gain everything, sure. But it defiles the whole church of God with their corrupt teaching. Trying. One said to me, he said, what you doing this for? What you doing that for? I said, don't you believe it? That's the truth? Oh, yes, but he said, you know what? That's not your business. You're to pray for the sick. They believe you to be a prophet. Well, you could teach them women how to, and that man how to do this, that, or how can you teach them algebra when they won't even learn their ABC?
Hallelujah.
How can you teach them them things when they won't even take the primer? See? You've got to come back and start where you began or where you left off and take every word of God. Just look at it in the field today. As Balaam married into God's church, a harlot, married the harlot into God's church. So is these false teachers today trying to tell you they're going to marry every one of these organizations and these people into the old harlot of Revelation 17. Their Balaam doctrine. Going around today and say, we're just the same. We're all Christians and priests and popes and whatever more, all compromising and doing this. The preacher said, even I know a Pentecostal preacher, all of them starting out giving around kosher, which means estrus, the moon god, a kosher wafer. Says, shut your eyes and take it. It hurts your conscience. Shut your eyes. A round wafer, what does it mean? We are taking a broken body. Jesus Christ broken. Not a round moon god, estrus, who Mary took the place of, and the Roman kosher still round, for the moon god. Goddess, not God. We have a broken kosher. Certainly. Oh. So now the great harlot of Revelation 17, these Balaam teachers with their false doctrine, is marrying the church into that kind of a mess. Watch when it comes to the showdown at the end time. Look the weakness of it now. 900 and something different organizations, one pulling one way and one the other. There's no unity among them, and they're trying to bring unity, not backed by the Word of God, God's original plan. They're taking it in by politics in an organization. God don't change his mind.
No.
He stays right with his Word. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my Word won't. That's right. He stays with his original Word. Oh, my. Though there's still a reason against it, just like they did. And just, there's only one thing to do. He won't change it. Just believe. Because both heavens and earth will pass away. His word will never fail. See? And see where you're getting married into? See the politics and things? How they're trying to join the church together by politics in the church. We are not joined to Christ by politics. We're joined to church, to Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because that Spirit in you identifies every word of God to be the truth.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
For whosoever shall take one word out of it, add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. Yet he prospers.
Hallelujah.
You say, you can't believe that by prosperity. You can't judge God by prosperity. The world prospers. Balaam prospered by it. But brother, you judge God by his word. He keeps his word and identifies it the truth. So remember, friend, as long as you live, don't you never forget this, God doesn't change his mind. Yet he'll bless. He'll let you go his permissive will. But he won't change his mind. He won't change his plan. He won't change his word for you. No, sir. You've got to change. You can't have God's word to match your experience. You've got to have your experience to match God's word. See? That's the way you've got it. You say, well, I'm a good man. God does this, that, the other. But do you keep his word? Oh, well, I'll tell you, that ain't just... all right, there's something wrong somewhere. God's going... Yes, he'll prosper you. Sure, he'll make you... The denominations is prospering, and who wouldn't have it? They spread their tents, the great fine churches and everything throughout the land. They're rich and money poured in and members from everywhere. Didn't the Bible say it's found in there? Even riches of the world and even souls of man and everything that was found in this old harlot, which is the mother of the whole thing, pull up politics and organization. But God's little group is his bride centered on that word. May the dear Heavenly Father ever keep you stabilized right there. Don't you never move from that word. You may bless, you may, God may heal your sick, he may heal your sick baby, he may heal your husband, your wife, he may heal your mother, somebody else. You may jump in his spirit and dance up and down. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Just the same. But when that seed's laying there, it's either ordained or it's not ordained. And if it's ordained, if it's a wheat, it has to bring forth wheat. If it's a word of God, it has to produce the word of God. If it isn't, then it isn't. See? You get that now? The Lord bless you. Here I told you I was going to quit at 9 o'clock, and here it is 20 minutes till 10. Many of you people long ways to go. I love you. And the reason I hold you like this is not because I want to be cruel to you, but I love you. And what I know, I don't keep nothing back. I tell you the truth. Out of the meetings where I go, you never hear me preach these messages. No, I promised you to come to this tabernacle. Right here is where I preach my messages from. I've got three or four more here that the Lord has given me. I've got the scriptures on it that I would be daring to preach it anywhere else but right here. Amen. Here's where the Word of God started going from. Until God changes it, I'm staying right here and bring it out right here. That's right. Amen. Out there in the meetings, I pray for the sick and everything like that. And on the side, say things in a roundabout way that the sheep hear it. They know what it's talking about. Otherwise, it's just a bait on the hook. You see, I show the signs of trying to show God knows and discernment and knows the hearts of the people and does these things. That's an evangelistic gift just to stir the people. The first thing you know, a tape drops into their house. That's got it then. If he's a sheep, he comes right with it. If he's a goat, he kicks the tape out. Yeah. That's it. That's, and you too is right, man. That's exactly right. Ben's had some experience. All right.
It has been so much said here in these two quotes that we play that sometimes it's very, very hard to know where to start. But do you see how the people of Israel let down the bars? The compromise with a line of separation. Did you see how Balaam entered? Did you see in the quotations how they trust the gifts, or they went after the gifts instead of the giver, and how a gift, instead of leading a person to the Word of God, led them to a total apostasy? If you go to the paragraph number 186, as a reference makes this, we are not joining to Christ by politics. We are joined to church, to Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because the Spirit in you identifies every word of God to be the truth. And in this separating line that we try to draw this afternoon, there's a question there. Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost the truth today? Is it still the sealing of the Spirit on the heart of the believer today or not? If yes, why it's not preached? Why it's compromised? Why it's watered down? Why all these things are happening? That's the reason, I believe, that the so-called people today of the message are finding themselves in such a terrible delusion because the Spirit is not there to lead them into all truth. There was a time that that dividing line, now if you open with me to the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, And you go to the 21st verse, you'll see there that, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hold you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The same answer you get today. If you ask them, why? What happened to the Holy Ghost? What happened to this? They don't give you a word. And if they attempt to give you a word, says, we got the revelation. But if you take and you say, bring your revelation upon the Word of God, place it. Let's see if it's the truth. They'll run away. They cannot do it. Now, in this line of separation, that we haven't even hit the first point of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 6:14, that says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship has righteousness with her? There is no fellowship between the two. There is no communion. There is no relation. There is nothing. There is nothing. It's zero. Unless Christ is there as the center of the whole relation, you have no relation at all. And that's quite sometimes, it's very hard for the people to understand. As we heard in this quote, they will say, we want more of God. All of us want more of God. But you know, I tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the conviction of the Word in a man's soul that will conform the person to the Word instead of an escape to practice the gifts of the Word and be lost at the end. There were some very, very strong statements made by Brother Branham at the end. And when he came to the last paragraph, I think it was paragraph 191, he discusses there his relation. He says the evangelistic gift is just to stir up the people. And I remember in the meetings, when the people were crying and screaming and everything, the presence of God was there, and so on, they rejoiced on the gift. But when the word started being declared and proclaimed, they didn't want that. And did you see how he make a distinction? He says, out there in the field, he says, I'm not going to, I cannot preach these things. You know? He just, I cannot do that. The same thing today. If you try to preach the total truth about the Word of God, you don't have too many friends left. Just a few. And if you ask them, where do you see that I'm wrong? They don't tell you. Because they're afraid. They will go behind your back. And they will say, watch this guy, watch that lady, watch this. But you see, in the front, they cannot come because they don't have the goods. They go right in your back like Judas did to our Lord. And the same thing they are doing today. The Judas of this message will go from your back and will go from my back. They will try to sell you. They will try to do whatever they can to destroy you. But remember, they can never destroy the Word in me and in you. It's a beautiful thing to know that Christ is with you and God keeps you and God leads you. I think I enjoy so much this part here of the study. So many things were brought up. This statement that says, he says, you go to you join the church, he says, but to Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, is by following this truth. And I like to see not ourselves based our progress in the Lord by the demonstration of the flesh. And I know many times I have suffered myself and I have paid a price for it. Because when you see it moving in the flesh, although you don't see the 1 week or the second week or the third, you know it's going to be leading in trouble. And sometimes the people that have failed the Word of God, in their souls, they are backslid. They will be out in the Methodist, in the Baptist, in the Presbyterian, every convention, every meeting, every kind of a thing you can imagine. They'll go around, and they have never shown really the separating line. Somebody comes, and I don't care if he's drunk or whatever he is. He's a big evangelist and screams and spits at the phone for the microphone for a while, running up and down the platform. They say that's the power of God. I hope they can listen to this quotation. The power of God, my friend, today is the conformity of an individual to the life of the Word. That's what it is. And the Word speaks about redemption only by the blood. There is no mediator between God and man except Christ Jesus. It speaks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how it has been denied and why. This is the question. Now, I would like to get into a portion, probably, that I might be able to help some of the young people on this, not to be unequally yoked. It seems to me the amount of material that I have here, I don't know if I should close on tape 8 or continue after that, discussing more the separating line, not to be unequally yoked. But I like to continue on with the study by turning to the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. We are now in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And here the word of God in the first verse proclaimed that when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. He speaks about the possession of the land. Take a land, the land over. And then he speaks about how the people of Israel will conquer this different, should I say, nations or tribes, Canaanites and Havites and so on. But on the second verse, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and not utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shalt show mercy unto them. It shows you here that God's people cannot make a covenant. And marriage is a covenant. If you go to the book of Malachi, the 2nd chapter, you will see that it is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. You cannot marry with people that God has separated you from. And I know sometimes people will attend denominational churches, and then they will go back to the message churches. See, these people have never come out. This is the people, really, that are the worst of all of them, because they are trying to bridge, to bring back to the camp, the denominational spirit, the compromise spirit. If it cannot be achieved by compromising the way that they talk, the way that they dress, it will be compromised. Take the gifts. Take the spirit instead of the word. And you know what? These religious spirits appear so spiritual. They will tell you, let's have believing in the moving of the spirit. But when the word comes on marriage and divorce, when the word comes on separation, we don't like that. We don't like that. We just want to shout and dance in the spirit. They don't like that. You know why? They are not word material. They are not pure word material. They look for an escape. They have transgressed the word of God, and they might be running for a month, might be running for years. And they are dry spirits, evil spirits, dry, and look for a place to dwell. These dry spirits, they will run from church to church, trying to find a place to have rest. But remember, it takes the word to clean the house, and it takes the word to dwell in the house instead of leave it vacant. And now this separation says, don't make any covenants with these people. And on the third verse, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Who are they? Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Oh, perhaps sometimes we look at it so lightly. The young man and the young woman today that looks for a companion, you should be looking for somebody who's really saved and filled with the Spirit. Not sometimes the confessions, he's in the message, she's in the message. No wonder you have so many problems. Don't trust these kind of preachers. Now they tell you the only thing that you have to do is just say you're in the message, you're in the message. No, you need to be born again. And if you are grown up and you're raised in a Christian home, a home that knows this truth, the last day's message, it does not mean that you are saved unless you have an experience with the Lord. Sooner or later, your color is going to show up who you are. You need God. You need salvation. No? We take sometimes the good ones by inheritance, but it takes the blood of Jesus Christ in salvation. And the scripture says, now you cannot marry with them. You say, what do you mean you cannot marry with them? If you have a daughter and somebody says, my son is in the message, because he says in the message, you don't settle for that. You must settle if, number one, the person is saved. The Spirit of God dwells in him. His sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, and he has received the Holy Ghost. Not because somebody says, we're in the message. It has become such a denominational thing that it's terrible. And he continues, says, thy daughter, thou shalt not give into his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. You know, sometimes what happens? The pastors try to decide who is going to be buried with who. That is none of their business. They have no business to try to put couples together. A man was telling me that one of the well-known ministers told him that he has the gift to put couples together. You can see their lives nothing but business and crooked operations. Ask them how many of these people that he advised, they didn't fall down the ditch. They didn't know which direction to go next. And I believe, according to this verse, the father and the mother have some kind of a voice. Some kind of a voice. You cannot go to your daddy, I'm 18, I'll do anything I want to. No. The scripture says here, thy daughter, thou shalt not give. Who cannot give? The person that the daughter belongs to can be a father or a mother. And he says, not give unto his son. And he says, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. It's some kind of a decision, some kind of an honor to the parent. And I know that we have sometimes cases that the parents are not Christian. What are you going to do? They don't know about separating line. They don't know anything about it. And I believe that God is going to work things out. I believe in that. I don't believe in a teenager coming to me and say, I want to get married so I can go to his father or her father so I can twist his arm. I don't believe in that. I believe in the right time. I believe I can tell the truth about it. What's going on? What I feel. But remember, their decision is what counts. Honor your father and mother. There's a lot to that. Don't let anybody tell you, go ahead and get married because somebody's in the message. That's a deception. Make sure they are saved and filled with the Spirit. He says, For they will turn away thy son from following me. That's what the message has taught us. When you get married with a Catholic, you raise the children Catholic. Sure. You know? Look at their children sometimes. They hang around denominational churches, in denominational environments, partakers of the mother harlot's activities, their children. Is that God? No. Why? Why? What happened? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Sure, Trinitarian, Methodist, Baptist, and everything else. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. It's kind of a crisis to see the condition of today, the compromise of today, seems to me has become a Las Vegas. If a man tried to stand for the truth anymore of marriage and divorce, there are preachers under the name of the message, they don't care who they marry, who they don't marry, as long as you give me some money here and bring some tithing or have a show in the church, sure, they're using us as bait. And the thing that I believe is something worse than that, when these preachers are trying to intermarry families to lock them in their congregation. That's heathen. And even parents sometimes, they will try to force the children to marriages. Paganistically, who they're going to get married and who not, be why? They lock them in without even the child loving the fellow or the girl. Because they decided to be like that. Because of their politics. Because they want to be associated and related to that family. Because the preacher wants to lock somebody with their family so they can be members there. So they have two things to worry about getting out, breaking the relation plus breaking the fellowship. That kind of a thing, you should get out. Separate yourself, the Word of God is saying. These marriages that are used as politics are the expense and the suffering of the young people. They are devilish. They are Satan-inspired. We should wait on God. God has a man and a young lady to get married. We're for it. We love it because that's the Word of God. We want to see them happy. We want to see them going on with the Lord as long as they're saved and believe in God and their life has been conformed with the Word of God. They take their stand with the Word of God. That's what we want. We want to see these marriages. But when we start playing politics, compromise, some of them engage, messed around, and then the heavenly, sounds to me some kind of a kind priest comes around and says, who giveth this woman to this man, and all that politics that go with it. We're in a terrible shape. Because that son will go and follow other gods, they sure follow other gods. Sometimes they will make a pastor their god. Now I believe in the fivefold ministry. Let me tell you how strong I believe it. I believe the independence of the people sometimes destroy them and they don't even know. I believe the Word of God teaches about the fivefold ministry and should be respected. And there are people that don't believe in the fivefold ministry. And according to the book of Jude, they are sons of Satan if they don't believe in it. Because they are too independent to be subjected to the Word of God that is preached sometimes. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Nothing at all. They're going to have their own way. No matter how much you are in the Word, they're going to follow their own way. But I believe it's time that the things are supposed to be balanced. Supposed to be the balance, see the balance there. Supposed to see the young person have respect for the parents. The parents have respect for the young people. The parents have respect for the office of the church. The young people have respect for the office of the church. And this respect for each other to grow in the Lord and develop something. That will be the perfect church of the living God, the Word of God dwelling in them. You know, we cannot please everybody. Some people feel if somebody preaches, it's too hard on them. Well, if it's too hard for them, they need it. Some people feel that sometimes that's their independence. Let me tell you, a person that's truly of the Spirit of God will be subjected to the Word of God. No wondering they are miserable in their spirit, some of them. No wondering they are in a terrible shape. They're going to get worse. That demon possession takes place sometimes and they don't even know it. But you got to go on with the Lord, ignore these things, play dumb about these things, and keep on going. And if they are elect and predestinated, they are going to see it. But here the warning of God is given. He says in the third verse, he says, don't have any marriages with them. Maintain the separate line. That's why I cannot marry some of the young people. Or they come to you and say, we're in the message. I look at them. And I say, poor deceivable creature, who deceive you? I like the sixth verse. Sixth verse says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. I like that word, chosen. I was studying that word, chosen. I was surprised to see that this word is the same word that's used in Ephesians, the first chapter. It comes from the word ekklesia, who means that they came out. They separate themselves because of the life of the Word. Ek is out, logos is the Word. Here describes the type of the people that we're supposed to be. To the type of the people that this command, this instruction has been addressed to. And these people are the chosen people of God. And remember, when we were studying 2 Corinthians 6:14, we were seeing there that be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What is an unbeliever? A compromiser to the Word. What is a believer? A person that believes the total Word of God. That's what it is. And that is, you see, there's no way to believe in the Word of God, and even being saved, like we mentioned, without the blood of Christ. Let's make a little summary for a minute to see what we have discussed here. We have discussed that this separating line that separates me and the world, separates me and some of the people in the message, is that I believe that you cannot go to the other side where God is unless you're saved by the blood of Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you're in a justified state before God, and you're filled with the Spirit. That's a dividing line. Now the compromise comes when the people say that we're all one. We're only the same message. I watch people that, not to mention these things, but they left us. And the deterioration became gradual and gradual and gradual until total deterioration, and they don't even know where they stand. They don't even know who to pray to anymore. Why? They took a wrong corner. They turned in the wrong place. And you see, you cannot say, don't do it. You have to let them do it. Because if they're predestinated, they're not going to do it anyway. So you do your best and you keep on going, but you have to let it go. You have to let it happen. Because it fulfills the Word of God, that's the falling away, and has to take place. You try to help. You don't want anybody to fall on the side. But the Scripture says they will fall on the side. And who can stop them? So this dividing line now we're established, we are looking now and say, what does it mean for me not to be unequally yoked? I like to say that anything that will put you in such a subjection that you have to compromise the Word of God, there's something wrong. That you have to compromise the Word of God. Now, I know some people want to be independent. They don't want to be checked by the Word. They don't want to be tested by the Word. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Fine. Have your way. Watch the end. Might not be in 1 week, might be in 1 year. Watch it. There are many men and women that have been in mental and spiritual depression because of their independence. They don't know how to face reality because they have become too independent for themselves and too independent from God. So now you have this parallel that travels. On one side, the true believer. And the other side, the make-believer. And you watch it, and one try to cross the line to the other side and compromise. And sometimes you're sitting in the middle of the Word, and you try to fight, and you say, now, look, let's maintain that yoke, that balance. That balance there. And that balance, you have to be equally yoked. And the only way to make sure that it's done is by the Word. It's not by socials. These portions of the codes that we read, I thought was beautiful portions. I have here probably about another 30 pages. But what I will do, I would like to make a couple of points, and when you go home, study these portions of Scripture. When here Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:14 refers to for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness. Why don't you look 1 Samuel 5, 2 and 3. 1 Kings 18:21. 1 Corinthians 10:21. And Ephesians 5:7-11. Compare the Scriptures. Study especially 1 Kings 18:21. The question now can be very easily addressed to the people today. How long this thing will go on? You know, we felt, some of us, when we go on more than 5 years after Brother Bam died. Then we felt when we have more than 3 years after that. But it's still going on. But one thing that we have to accept, it's a deterioration. And it has to be a deterioration because the Holy Ghost is not there. The substitutions of the programs and the substitutions of the activities, let them never deceive you that we're moving in the right direction. The people are in trouble and they don't even know it. They need prayer. So remember each one of our people in prayer. Let's help each other. Let's go on with the Lord. Let's divide this kind of activity from God and not God. Let's obey the Word of God. Let's say, Lord, I'm here. Whatever you have for me, I want to do it. And that's the only way to be happy in Christ. I hope you got something out of this study. Young people, don't be unequally yoked. If you have been saved and filled with the Spirit, look for that blood mark, the salvation. Because that's where the Spirit conviction, forgiveness takes place. And that's where the foundation of the marriage should be based. And I like to say this, I have to admire parents that they stand on the Word of God. Many of the children have done many mistakes. Mistakes that they pay and they will be paying the rest of their lives probably. But I have to admire parents that they stood in their conviction with the Word of God. We have a message. Let's not compromise with it. Let's believe it. We can see the same thing in the message that we see in the Word of God. May the Lord bless you. I hope that it has become a blessing to you. This study. Amen.